10 in our series on the work and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we're looking tonight at one of the gifts that is very important, is the gift of influence. We looked originally at the meaning of the filling of the Spirit and the baptism of the Spirit, and we saw in both cases it had nothing to do with a post-conversion baptism or filling or sealing of the Holy Spirit. Rather, we saw that the filling of the Spirit was a question of the Spirit characterizing your life. And we saw that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is that which takes place at conversion and incorporates the person into the body of Christ and sheds abroad the love of God in their hearts. Or otherwise, of spiritual gifts is not the measure of the spiritual standing of a person. It tells nothing about their spiritual standing at all. You really have to look at the church in Corinth to realize that. Here was a church that had many gifts, it was extremely unspiritual and full of problems. And indeed, we could go, certain gifts is no measure of spiritual standing. Neither can a person boast if he has gifts and say, aren't I wonderful, I'm a great person because I've got these gifts. Because the gifts are sovereignly given by God, they are gifts of grace. And so rather than saying, aren't I wonderful, a person with any spiritual gift should say, isn't. But God has given these gifts not because a person is special or good or better than anybody else, but of the church to build up the church. We looked at the foundational gifts of apostles and prophets. We saw that these were for the foundation of the church, for the revelation of the gospel, and as such they are unique and are not healing and seen. And healing is consistently in the scripture of something that is dramatic and immediate and perfect. And while God does still do that today, there is no man, no person, man or woman, excuse me, three gifts together, wisdom and the word of knowledge. And we question whether or not these are still around today, partly because it's difficult defining. We're looking at the gift of evangelist. Notice I do not say gift of evangelism, because we read about the gift of evangelist in Ephesians chapter 4. And in Ephesians chapter 4, this is not a list of gifts given to people as individuals. This is a list of gifts where the gifts themselves are people whom Christ has given to the church. And he himself gave some to the apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, the work of ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So it's that we're looking at tonight. And first of all, we need to determine what is meant by an evangelist. Now, the word comes from the Greek word evangelistes. And it means literally one who announces good tidings, which is not surprising since it comes from the Greek word evangelion, which is the gospel or the good news. So someone who is an evangelist is someone who announces the evangelion, someone who proclaims the gospel. And historically the word evangelist has been used to mean someone who preaches the gospel. We have some examples in the scriptures of evangelists, although the word itself only occurs in three places. We've seen this one here already in Ephesians chapter 4. We'll just quickly look at the other two in Acts chapter 21. On the next day, we who were Paul's companions departed and came to Caesarea and entered the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven, and stayed with him. And that's who we read about a little earlier in Acts chapter 8. So Philip is referred to as Philip the evangelist. And the only other place it occurs in the New Testament is in 2 Timothy chapter 4 in verse 5. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. And we could perhaps suggest that there are other examples of evangelists, although they are not called such, in that the apostles were evangelists, they went around evangelizing, and many other believers were evangelists, at least in a secondary sense, in that they went around evangelizing. And of course we must say that the great example par excellence of an evangelist is the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the one who came and himself preached the gospel, and of course is himself the subject of the gospel. So those are the examples that we've got. Rather thin, although I think we have a little more to go on than we had last time. Although the word isn't used a great deal, we do find instances of evangelism taking place and specific people being used by God as evangelists. And it's perhaps once we have a definition of what an evangelist is, we can then look at examples from history. As a definition of what an evangelist is. An evangelist is someone who has a God-given ability to proclaim the gospel to few or to many in a way that actually communicates to those who hear. That's it at the end, because many people have the ability to communicate the gospel, but not everybody has. There's a distinction between preaching and gospel preachers, evangelists. Now, in defining it, we mustn't confuse what the Bible says about evangelists with people in the world today who claim to be evangelists. Very easy to do that and to say, oh, well, we know what evangelists are because we've got these people around us, we've got these examples. But that's putting the cart before the horse, doing things the wrong way around. We must say, first of all, what does the Bible say? Having determined what the Bible says, then we can come and we can say, right, that's what the Bible says. Are these people what the Bible says are evangelists or not? And one of the things that we do find in the scriptures is that when you had someone who was an evangelist, such as, for example, Philip, he did not go off and say, right now, we've got to organise this planning committee, we've got to book this site and that site, and we've got to get all these things done, and then perhaps in a year's time when we've got everything organised, then we can go on and do it. The Ethiopian eunuch, and he preached. Realising that if you have someone who is an evangelist, it's not wrong to make plans and to organise, but the question that is so often given today is, that is what an evangelist does. Evangelist comes along and organises these big campaigns, these things. Although, one question that needs to be asked and answered is the question as to whether or not we still have evangelists today. In the writings of the Reformers and the Puritans, there are many of them who said that evangelists should be grouped with apostles and prophets, and that evangelists were foundational gifts for the church, and so therefore, being foundational, we no longer have any of them, for the same reasons we no longer have apostles or prophets. Now, you can look in a number of authors. John Owen is one that I've consulted on a number of occasions, but there are others as well as him who say this. Now, when you try and find out the reasons why they say this, perhaps it's just I've not read enough John Owen yet, but I have yet to find the biblical reasons they give for saying that this gift has ceased. I cannot find any justification for that view. My belief as to why they held this view is because they had originally believed that England was a Christian country. Everybody had been evangelized. What you needed was an ongoing ministry of preaching and teaching in completely virgin territory. I can't find that in the scriptures. History where you can see that we have a few examples possibly the greatest evangelist that has been known in the world since the time of the apostles, is George Whitefield. During the 18th century, Whitefield, it seemed that wherever he Jews would be converted. Certainly multitudes came to hear him. And he had a way with words, and he had a way of pushing them over so that people would hear. Just that Whitefield was able to do things in a particular way. God was clearly using him to do them with force and with power, such that people respond. We, of course, is another example who was also able to speak clearly and directly, and we might not agree with all that Wesley did and said. We have another example in a man called Asahel Nettleton, a man who's hardly ever heard of these days. Church to church, making a big noise, and he went and he spent to preach powerfully, almost read the hearts of men, do what is necessary. The thing that Nettleton was very good at indeed was preparation. You've got to go quite deep. Sense that Nettleton was the 19th. He preached, people would become troubled. Even trouble and concern, it's so easy. And I know many people are a dreadful person. I'm the greatest sinner that's ever lived. And the students began to catch and say, no, no, you have extreme worth and value. You are a significant person. And J. Adams said, what a ridiculous thing to say. People got full opportunity. Half the work's been done already. This convict is saying, here I am, I'm a sinner. And what they should have said is, you're absolutely right. Now, why do you think that's the case? Make sure that you are a sinner, you are a wretch, you are awful. God in Christ, a number of cases of people converted. Next, blessed though it was, I preached the gospel to him, and it affected. The next 6 months, I began to teach him what the Bible says. Of conviction of sin seemed to be in agony, seeing him in agony. And I didn't want to be in agony. I want he's gone. These are things I think we can see in history of people who are evangelists, and I think we can see that to some degree in the life of Philip. As I said, we don't have much information in the scriptures, but we have Philip, who here went in Acts chapter 8, and he went and preached in Samaria, and he preached in such a way that many people believed. We find but in verse 26, now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go towards the south along the road which goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. Revival going on, and God says, right, Philip, you finished there, let's go somewhere else. Evangelist. The evangelist is someone who founds churches, is someone who establishes churches, but someone who then church and another church. And then going off and meeting this one man, the Ethiopian. Now, he probably had a large train of people. One man that Philip went. And Philip was able to begin a conversation with the man, to talk to the man, to tell him the gospel, and to apply it to the needs of that particular man. And that man was brought through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Here, Philip, in some ways, was again founding a church. That although it's only one man, that one man, having been converted, went off to his home in Ethiopia, and it is believed became the person who founded the whole Ethiopian church that continued. The gift of evangelist is something that we can see clearly in the scriptures. It move out from the enclaves into which it tends to have withdrawn into new churches. Would that we had someone in our church who was an evangelist, who could go out into the surrounding areas and preach the gospel, and we could see people coming in. There are evangelists around in the world. There are